This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sicanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome in just after 5 o'clock on a, is it a nice Monday out there? I think the sun was creeping out a little bit, although it looks like maybe the clouds have rolled in.
When my day started, it was little patches of rain, but I think it's clear now.
Yeah, I think this weekend, though, we're supposed to get up into the 70s. Which is kind of problematic because, you know, the Final Four is like supposed to be middle of the day. So what do? You like it's hard to convince the better half to stay in on a 70 plus degree day to watch the Final Four. It's like, that's a tough one.
It's really hard for me just with two children right now to say we're just going to sit in one place in the home for 2 hours straight and watch a game. So I do a lot of my watching via the apps, via YouTube TV, via the March Madness app, and I just take my basketball on the go with me.
Set the old DVR there.
Yeah, you can. I don't love coming back at the end of the day and then having to go back and watch the whole game. So what I like to do is try to keep tabs on it during and then make sure I catch all the key pieces via highlights.
Yeah, well, hopefully we get a good one. I mean, it's been an interesting tournament so far, but
I can't wait for these last three games. I think we're going to get really good ball, good
matchups.
Should
be good, but so far we haven't had the most dramatic tournament of the world, but you know, it's the chalkiest tournament that we've ever had. So we'll see what happens here because we're in kind of that weird no man's land. I think we've got baseball starting.
Masters next week.
Yeah, Masters next week. Did you see, too, that on the Masters, you are now going to be able to track every rain shot?
I saw that, and not just, like, watch all the guys hit the balls, but they're going to give you, like, the feedback data from the little TrackMan things they've got out there, so you'll know every shot on the range, ball speed and spin and how far it's going. Kind of crazy information out there for fans to have on their favorite players.
Yeah, which I think is a little creepy. I don't know when's too much.
I don't know how much extra value that provides for the fan, and so I don't know why you would have to, but I guess for the golf nerd, it's really interesting.
Yeah. Masters here, because right now it does feel like a little bit of a lull. I guess you got the women's on right now, but you know, it's a little bit of a lull here.
A little bit of a Sweet 16 Elite 8 hangover.
There you go. Well, you know what we don't have a hangover for right now? The Hot 5 at 5.
Oh!
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
It's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on The Fan by Victorico's Mexican Food. Discover Victorico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or get it delivered straight to your door at victorico's.com.
Number five.
Well, it turns out that when you're not very good at baseball and then you do a bunch of steroids, you can get good at baseball and then you get caught and you'll go back to not being good at baseball.
Funny so how that works.
Atlanta Braves outfielder Jurickson Profar, you know, he's 32, he's been around, and he never has much pop. So last year he signed a $1 million contract with the Padres in February and then ended up putting together the best offensive season he'd ever have. He hit 280, 24 homers, 85 RBI.
24 years that guy had?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Dude, he had a monster year. And so the Braves signed him to a three-year, $42 million deal. right? And he was going to be their everyday left fielder. So, again, just buyer beware. When a guy is 32 and has never really had any pop and then has a monster season, you might want to ask why. Yeah, he got popped for anabolic steroids today, and he will now be serving an 80-game suspension.
His home runs by season, 1, 6, 5, 0, 20, 20, 7, 4, 15, 8, 1, and then, hey, 24 again.
One of these things is not like the other. Hey, you know what? Good for him. He got $42 million. Now he's going to have to give up that 80 games with
the
salary.
He'll have to give up half the bag on that first season.
Yeah, but I mean, dude, that 42 baseball contracts are guaranteed,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, you got the rest of it.
You tell me you wouldn't do a little sauce for $42 million? I'd make that deal.
Find worse ways to earn that money.
On the diamond, what do we got going on right now? My Mets kicking the living hell out of the Marlins, 8-1. The Reds, middle of the sixth, they're up 6-0 on the Rangers. See, DeGrom came back, though, and had a nice effort for the Rangers.
I did not.
Yeah, that was over the weekend. The Rays are up 4-0 on the Pirates. The Pirates, by the way, lost all three of their opening games on walk-offs.
Yeah.
By the way, the only other team to do that in the history of Major League Baseball, the Pirates. Jays up 3-0 on the Nationals. What do we got? Giants and Astros just underway. And then tonight, 6:40, first pitch, your 2-2 Seattle Mariners take on the 0-3 Detroit Tigers up at the peak.
You also get the undefeated Dodgers and the winless Braves going head-to-head in a nightcap as well.
Oh, and the Red Sox lost 8-5 to the Orioles, and Rafael Devers, who bitched and moaned about moving from third base to DH, he is 0-16 with 12 strikeouts now to start the season.
Is that bad?
I would say that's bad. When your batting average is 0 with 12 strikeouts and 16 plate appearances.
You're not even putting the ball in play.
No.
But he drew a couple walks today, and that's the start of a turnaround.
The women's Elite Eight going on. Of course, we don't get the men's Final Four for a bit to the weekend, but the ladies in action, a couple of them tonight. Texas currently up 25-21. By the way, very chalky women's tournament, too. That's a 1-2 seed there. Texas being the 1 seed, they're up by 4. 8 minutes to play in the third. God, that is a low scoring. 25-21 in the third?
Yeah.
Oh, you see that? Duke, North Carolina played one of these earlier in the tournament that was like that. The game was like played in the 30s and 40s.
Yeah.
And then tonight you got the 6 o'clock number 2 UConn and Paige Buckets against no Juju Watkins and the number 1 USC Trojans for the right number to go to the final. What else we got on this? Oh, I thought this was kind of interesting. You know, it kind of went under the radar a bit, but a couple weeks ago, Steph Curry accepted the assistant athletic director's job at Davidson. Well, apparently Trae Young now of the Atlanta Hawks, he has been named the assistant athletic director of the Oklahoma Sooners. And he's going to donate $1 million to the program, which, you know, whatever. It's a one-time thing.
Didn't Curry's thing come with $10 million for
the
program?
Yeah, he gave a huge chunk. Well,
But Trae's got plenty of coin, right?
It's $1 million. Yeah. I thought it was interesting. Like, I don't know if this is going to be like a continued trend. I'm assuming this is just about recruiting and raising money to have a star player come back to your team.
Just to kind of continue to hype the team and the program with the boosters and whatnot.
I would assume. I mean, that's probably a big deal, right? I mean, especially for a place like Davidson.
And maybe have some say in, like, interview processes and what directions you want to try to go, but it's not going to be a day-to-day job.
No, it's a little odd. I think that this is now, Davidson was kind of like a little off the beam. Oklahoma's a decent-sized program. So I wonder if this is going to become more of the norm. So just something to keep an eye on. Assistant Athletic Director, Trae Young.
Number 1.
My number one fan!
Number one.
Oh, let's stick in the NFL. A lot of kind of news and notes coming out of the NFL today as, we get ready for the draft here and we have the NFL meetings now where everyone's sitting down and kind of hashing out their plans. The owners are speaking, GMs. Apparently Aaron Rodgers is now having one-on-one practice sessions with DK Metcalf, but apparently is still unsure whether or not he will sign with the Pittsburgh Steelers. So Mike Tomlin had to address that. Basically, that they're just comfortable with Mason Rudolph being their quarterback.
Well, they're developing some intimacy is what he told us.
Yes, they're flirting with one another. Right now they're just doing kind of over-the-close stuff. And they're waiting to see if Aaron Rodgers is going to feel him up and then let him go to third base, and Aaron Rodgers will be the quarterback of the Steelers. Because I can assure you, they do not want to go all the way with Mason Rudolph as their starting quarterback. Tennessee Titans, who are on the clock, they're the number one pick. Their head coach, Brian Calhoun, He came out today and said that they're basically about 2 weeks away from deciding what they want to do with the number one pick. And while I did say they're open to the idea of moving down, it feels like Cam Ward has solidified himself as the number one overall pick. Interesting note out of Cleveland, though, as they're sitting there at the number two slot, their owner came out and said at the meetings, said that the Deshaun Watson trade went down as one of the big swings and misses in NFL history, and he is to blame. That's old Jimmy Haslam, basically confirming that the end of the Deshaun Watson era is here. And if you don't remember that, they gave Deshaun Watson the largest guaranteed contract in NFL history, the first fully guaranteed contract, and they gave up 3 ones, a third, and 2 fours to go get Deshaun Watson, who has now torn not one but two Achilles tendons in this offseason.
And then you put that with the fact that we have heard some chatter about Shador and the Browns, and he has said, I play with them and Matt, and they've both been saying very nice things about each other. Now you get that. It wouldn't be hard to put the pieces together and potentially seeing that happen at number two.
Kind of starting to think that maybe we see the dominoes laid in place of 1-2 being Cam Ward and Shador Sanders with the Titans and the Browns. I also want to talk about something that Brian Callahan said about what, that's the Titans head coach, by the way, about what a quarterback means. He said that finding a franchise quarterback is priceless. And I want to talk about that. What it means to find a quarterback and to find a star in the NBA. When I heard that quote and I started thinking about what the Steelers are going through, what the Titans are going through, what the Browns are going through, it made me think about what the Blazers are going through. And is there a relatable thing there about finding your guy in the NBA versus finding your guy in the NFL? Because they always say the NFL, there's no position that matters more than a quarterback in the NFL.
Most important position in sports, they say.
And I got to thinking, is that true? Or is there a NBA comp and are your Portland Trailblazers about to go through that? So we'll talk about that when we come back. Hot 5 at 5 brought to you by Victor Rico's. Check them out. They've got award-winning burritos and, dare I say, the street tacos. Delightful. Check them out, victorricos.com. We come back, we have a discussion. Which is more important and which is harder to find? A true superstar in the NBA or a franchise NFL quarterback, and which one's more valuable? Primetime here on The Fan.
We've got to bifurcate those two things.
Finding a franchise quarterback in the NFL is worth its weight in gold. We've seen what Jayden Daniels does to a team that we thought nothing about with the Commanders. Jayden Daniels comes in, has one of the best rookie seasons we've ever seen, and the Commanders are a game away from the Super Bowl, right? We just, you look at the contending teams in the NFL, from the Baltimore Ravens to the Buffalo Bills, Jalen Hurts. Whatever you think of Jalen Hurts, had a monster performance in the Super Bowl. You can't win without a quarterback. Now, there's levels to this. Jalen Hurts, to me, is not the quarterback that Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson is, but Philadelphia still has an elite team, a better team, and Jalen Hurts was certainly good enough to beat the Kansas City Chiefs with a better quarterback in Pat Mahomes. But you don't win without an elite quarterback. I mean, you can make the argument in the history of the NFL, of modern NFL, you've had maybe 4 or 5 Super Bowls. You know, Brad Johnson with the Buccaneers, you could say not an elite guy. Trying to think, like with the Eagles and the backup, Nick Foles. It does happen, Trent Dilfer, but you have to have a tremendous team around you. And so when you always hear that you can't win without a quarterback, again, worth its weight in gold. And the old adage is there's no more position that's important in all of sports than NFL quarterback. And I've generally agreed with that. I've said it on this program many a time. There's no player that has as much gravity to him as an NFL quarterback.
As much responsibility, as much impact on outcome, win or lose. Yeah, it's hard to argue against.
But it kind of got me thinking. Because I was at the Blazer game last week, and the emergence of Denny Avia is becoming the face of this franchise.
Yeah, he's the closest thing they have right now to a star player.
Yes, and he looks like he is going to be and he's 24 years old. Mm-hmm. He is going to be a very, very good NBA player.
In fact, I think when they traded for him, they thought, well, maybe he won't be quite ready to help contribute and help us win yet, but he's so young and so good that when we get there, and he's actually helped them win more games than they probably wanted to.
Sure, and maybe one day he makes an all-star team. Maybe, he'll be one of those guys that is like a Sabonis, right? He's an all-star, maybe not every single year, but he's right there on the cusp. And then you look at the development, Tamani Kamara, solid player, right? The offensive game comes around. It's going to be a starter in this league for a long time. Shaden Sharp, he's all right. Scoot, he's okay. Klingon, defensive player, but you know, he has no offensive game. It's, and he is so young, but there's no stars anywhere in this field for the Blazers. There's a collection of nice young guys. And that kind of got me thinking about the NFL. The Minnesota Vikings last year won 14 games, and they won 14 games with Sam Darnold. You can do it. The Pittsburgh Steelers win 10 games every year with a bunch of nobodies.
A ham sandwich.
A ham sandwich playing quarterback.
Yeah, they find a way.
But you don't win Super Bowls with those guys. You have to have one of those.
Those guys have a ceiling.
It really got me thinking, which is the more valuable piece? Finding a franchise quarterback or finding a gravitational player in the NBA? Because in the NBA, we talk about all the time, you got to tank, right? It's the ethical tanking versus the full-on tank, and it's a huge problem in the NBA because right now you have a series of teams that don't give two S's about winning. And by the way, apparently that includes your Portland Trailblazers. They lost four in a row. They're sitting guys now. Scoot's in concussion protocol. You're not seeing Jeremy Grant. You're not seeing Nathan. They're shutting it down. They got 4 points from their bench against the Knicks. 4 points. Like, they're not interested in winning games. And by the way, they're like a half a game from Chicago and San Antonio, and I think they play both of those teams down the stretch. There is going to be a tank-off between San Antonio and Portland because the idea is, obviously, you have to get one of those players. You're not going to end up with the Cooper flag. The chances of you being number one, but I think the idea is if you get into the top eight of odds, maybe you can jump up and grab one of those top four picks.
And even that, as I look at that now, I'm starting to question just that part of it because the number one spot that everyone's tanking for, like, yes, they think Cooper Flagg's going to be great. Who's the last time when's the last time the consensus number one guy that everybody wanted to get turned out to even be the best player in his class?
And therein lies my question. This is what I was wondering, because when we see a franchise quarterback, we're like, we know it, right?
Yeah.
We're going to grab this guy. Or we at least know whether Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders may not be, right? The franchise guys. But we know it's the quarterback.
Yes.
Every year there's five or six quarterbacks that are in discussion to be the top guy. We pick out the two or three that we love, and there's your franchise, right? Whether they are or aren't, we grab those guys. Some years you get Anthony Richardson, other years you get Jaden Daniels. But we know who those guys are. In the NBA, could you make an argument that it's harder to find that guy?
No doubt.
Because you don't win without that guy. If you look through the NBA and you look at who the best teams are, the Boston Celtics have Jason Tatum and they have Jaylen Brown. And by the way, they also have a collection of other guys, but they've got a couple of those dudes, right? The Oklahoma City have SGA, which, by the way, can we talk about the fact that the Clippers traded SGA and a S-ton to go get Paul George?
Mm-hmm. Who they have now turned over to Philadelphia, who now wants nothing to do with him.
Yeah. Right? Like, we were talking about the Browns and that move for Deshaun Watson. We should kind of talk
that
about
was, yeah, that was the Clippers win now move because they thought they had a better shot of getting to a championship with Paul George than a young Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and now who'd you rather have?
And you look at the Nuggets and how they got Jokic, or the Bucks and how they got Giannis. The Golden State Warriors with Steph Curry.
Outside of the top five.
Right? It feels like in the NBA,
even Kevin Durant, he was the number two pick of that draft.
But at least with Durant, it was like, okay.
Yeah, there was a one and two that
was
very clear, for sure.
LeBron coming out, you're like, God, we know it. Cooper Flagg is going to be like, no, Cooper Flagg's our guy. We ride or die with him. Whether he turns out to be the guy or not, we're grabbing him. Most of the time in the NBA, those guys that end up being the gravitational player that ends up being the true superstar that you have to have in order to win, I think you can make a strong case that it is harder to find those guys in the NBA. And I'm also not certain that there's more of those players than there are NFL quarterbacks.
Well, and I also feel like for as much as those guys, like, people try to jockey for that top position, you can find that guy with good scouting. It doesn't have to be the one overall pick. It could be the third, the fourth, the sixth, the seventh that becomes that guy. And that's what where a lot of teams have found their superstar players, not at number one overall, not really even at number two overall, but after that.
So I just think when you talk about real difference makers at the quarterback position that are just, They're on your team, you have a shot. There's like, what, six, seven, maybe eight, right? You could say Lamar and Burrow and Mahomes. Do you put Justin Herbert in that category? I think now, like Jaden Daniels, like, that top 6 to 8 is considered the elite guys. And maybe there's four of them that are different. And I kind of think in the NBA, it's a little, if you have Jokic on your team, you have a chance. If you have LeBron on your team, maybe not this version of LeBron, but if you have LeBron,
you have prime LeBron on your team.
You have a chance. When Giannis is on your team, you have a chance.
Yes.
He's that guy. Luka is that guy. He took a very average Mavericks team. How many other players are like that in the NBA?
Not many.
Because you start ranking the best players in the NBA, and you get to 6 or 7.
Yeah, and there aren't many gravitational guys after that that you're like, yes, you can lean on him and expect him to take you all the way there.
Like, we like Anthony Edwards as one of the best players
Phenomenal
in the NBA.
Talent, but he's not that guy.
I don't think he's that guy. I don't think he guarantees, well, obviously they haven't done anything. I don't think he guarantees anything. Up until this year, SGA probably wasn't that guy. Donovan Mitchell is the best player on the best team in the East. Donovan Mitchell isn't that guy. Or maybe if you want to say Evan Mobley for the Cavaliers, but he's not that guy.
But they're far more by committee between Mitchell and Garland and Mobley than they are.
Steph is that guy, but he had help. He had help, but you kind of lucked into Steph.
Yes, you fell into that. That's exactly right.
So I just thought it was interesting. Like, when you are looking at that quarterback, in the NFL we say you have to find the quarterback no matter what. And I feel like in the NBA we don't do that. And I would make the argument that it is the exact same thing. And this, I'm going to bring this all the way back to the Blazers. I think this season, 7 games left and you're out of the playoff. It's not happening, right?
You're a loser.
I think you're, 3 back with 7 to play?
I think I heard today 4.5 back in the play-in for the play-in or something.
Yeah, it's
like
3 or, look, it's not happening. It's not happening. You're done. And you're pulling the chute. You lost 4 in a row. You're done. You're out of it. So whether you end up with the 8th, 9th, or 10th best odds, chances are you are not going to end up with one of the top 4 picks. And as fun as this season has been, and I think you cannot deny that there has been a ton of growth and development.
For sure.
Especially with Denny and Jamadi Kamara.
Yeah, no question.
Right? And Scoot's, it looks like Scoot may actually be a player.
Yeah, Scoot looks way better this season than he did a year ago.
There is nowhere on this team anything close to the guy.
Right.
And yet
the Dame.
And yet we sit around. If this was the NFL, you'd be like, dude, whatever you have to do to go find that. And we don't do it in the NBA. Yeah. And I would make the argument that it's just as important and it's just as hard. And you have to do everything you can. And that's my fear as we enter this offseason, that you are about to start a run with the Blazers of a nice group of solid players. And in the NBA, for whatever reason, that's, we allow that to marinate and just kind of sit and convince ourselves that that's something.
Well, we like those teams, and they can beat the big boys every now and again, but they're not beating them in 7-game series.
No, and in the NFL, we don't. In the NFL, we're like, BS. I don't. The Geno Smiths of the world and the Sam Darnolds of the world, it doesn't move the needle.
He might win games, he won't win the Super Bowl, and you know that.
And I think the exact same thing happens in the NBA.
I think so, too.
And it's just, that's, as fun as this has been,
who's the guy that's going to get you there?
I'm mildly concerned. The only thing I'll say about the NBA, maybe different than the NFL, is it does feel like in the NFL, you have to have one of those top 5 or 6 picks. And when we look through that list of players in the NBA, they're a little more scattered about where you can find them. So maybe you say, you need a top 4 pick because it's Cooper Flagg. And maybe Flagg is the guy that drops in and immediately changes everything. But from Jokic to Giannis to Steph, those guys can be had later in the draft.
Yep.
You just have to identify them, and you have to find them, and you have to grab them. I guess that would be the one saving grace. But I just don't think we give enough importance to that gravitational player.
I think that's fair.
In the NBA. And that goes as far as the idea that Dallas was willing to trade Luka Doncic.
Yep.
No matter what problem he had in the NFL, you would never, ever trade.
No.
That
and that's why their GM and their ownership is getting raked over the coals and still getting raked over the coals.
Yeah. So just keep that in mind next time you hear the NBA grow and develop thing. If you don't have a quarterback in the NFL, you don't have squat. And if you don't have that dude in the NBA, you don't have squat. You know what we do have, though? Buck with SportsCenter. That 2004 Pistons team was probably the outlier.
That is the outlier.
You know, but that's... A little bit
Spurs-ish, but like still, Tim Duncan was the man.
Oh, come on. Tim Duncan is one of the 10 greatest players of all time. You can't stop that. Stop it. Tim Duncan, I mean, Tim Duncan's the greatest power forward to ever play.
Yeah, it's probably more like the Warriors having Curry and then some other good guys than it is just a collection
of greatest
dudes.
Point guard of all time, the greatest power forward of all time. The Pistons are that team.
Yeah.
And the Pistons, Chauncey made the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. So you had a Hall of Fame in Chauncey.
Tayshaun Prince, very good player for a
very long
time.
Multi-time All-Star in Rasheed Wallace, multi-time All-Star in Rip Hamer.
And then you had Ben Wallace, a defensive player
of the year. So that's the closest thing. They didn't have a transcendent player, but they had a lot of really, really good players. I'd make the argument that that's the Trent Dilfer Ravens. That's the maybe Joe Flacco Ravens, if you don't want to consider him elite, although he was a very good quarterback. So it does happen, but they are the outlier. They are not the norm. And, you know, to think that you're going to be the team that does that, that's a bold move. Again, see the Minnesota Vikings. But like when we do that in the that's my whole point. When we do it in the NFL and someone signs Geno Smith, everyone loses their S. But in the NBA, somehow we're like, well, it's a nice collection of players, and we feel like the sum of the parts.
But have you seen how much draft capital they have upcoming in the future?
Find the guy. Find him. And at least when you swing and miss, at least you swung. Like right now, the Sixers are in a horrible spot. But they swung.
They tried.
They tried.
They absolutely tried.
They tried. You know, I appreciate the fact that the Lakers, now it helps that people want to be in L.A., but the Lakers continually try.
And shoot, like even the Bucks, who already had a title, they went out and tried by trying to bring in Lillard and go win more.
Did
like,
work.
It's not working.
Yeah,
but
blood clots, you know, that's a whole lot.
But even before the blood clots, like not a great overall record.
It wasn't working, but they tried. And that's, that's all I want. At some point, I want the effort. And it really, really scares me that the narrative around Portland, especially with the emergence of Denny Avia, is going to be, hey, look, I think we have a future all-star on our team. And I just sit there and I every time I hear that, it just makes me want to take a pen and stab it in my eye. Because again, look at like a guy like De'Aaron Fox. Like he is a nice player. He's an all-star. What did he mean in Sacramento? They had two. They had Sabas. And what did it mean in Sacramento? It meant nothing because they were good players. They weren't great players. Maybe Cleveland is a team that can buck that trend. Cleveland this year is the best record in the East. And it's
a good team.
It's a good team. And Mobley could be probably defensive player of the year. And they got Mitchell, who's an all-star.
But enough to get through the Celtics? We'll see.
Yeah. And so maybe if Cleveland wins it, maybe that's a team that you can point to and say, okay, that was more of a really good team without necessarily the star player. But if Oklahoma City wins this year, it's going to be because it's a really good team and they've got an MVP. They've got SGA. Now, they got it because the Clippers swung their big sword because they had Kawhi Leonard and they're like, he wants Paul George. We're going to do whatever we can to go get Paul George. So you can criticize the NBA for being a star-driven league and guys pairing up. But it's kind of the same thing of an NFL team doing whatever they can to get a quarterback. It's just like in the NBA, it seems like you want two of them. Where in the NFL, it's more like, find me the quarterback and then I can build out.
And it seems like there's parallels. There are teams that we know will take their swings and there are others that think that through development and waiting that they will eventually be able to get there. I mean, like whether it's like, I mean, are the Blazers and the Pittsburgh Steelers alike at this
point
in time?
And I guess that's my fear. That's my ultimate fear is that this season is going to come and go. And it was a fun year. I went to a handful of Blazer games, and it was fun. Every game I went to.
More entertaining to watch than the last few years, for sure.
I think I went to five or six games, and I would say there wasn't a bad game that I went to. I didn't see him get blown out. I didn't see any full, you know, tank jobs. I don't even remember seeing an embarrassing performance. They were all competitive. I think they lost probably four of the five that I went to. But it was entertaining. And the team plays hard and that's great. And I like some of the young guys that they have. I do. It scares me when I hear we'll just kind of grow and develop. Just marinate. You're right. That's the Pittsburgh Steelers. No, I don't want to be the Pittsburgh Steelers. I felt like in Portland, we were that way for a long time where it was just a collection of talent. That was the Dame CJ. And you had that. I guess that's my point. You had Damian Lillard, arguably the greatest Blazer of all time. And then a cast of decent characters around him. And it still got you nothing. It got you one trip to the Western Conference Finals and you got bitch slapped. You got swept by Golden State, who had actual stars. And that's with Damian Lillard, a top 75 player of all time. And so this idea that you're just going to let Denny grow into a potential all-star maybe, and then see what Shaedon Sharpe and Scoot Henderson and Klingon in his awesome 5 points a game, the fact that,
that's not enough.
I hope to God that come the offseason when and they end up with the eighth or ninth pick, that that isn't the conversation, that I don't hear from management, well, it's bringing Chauncey back, and whether you want to think, you know, I don't think it's a terrible idea that Chauncey does come back, but the idea that it's just...
He's proven something this year.
He has, but this idea that, oh, you know, just kind of, it's the baby, oh, let him grow. Let this group go. No, there is not a star anywhere on this roster. Nowhere near it. Is there an all-star? Possibly.
I think Denny
could be an all-star.
Yeah.
Go find me a team with a borderline all-star, and that's the best they have, and then a collection of decent players. We don't do it in the NFL. Don't do it in the NBA. Otherwise, I promise that Minnesota this year, Minnesota won 14 games with Sam Darnold. 14 games. And you know what they did? Hey, Sam, thanks for coming.
Nice to see you.
Bye.
Appreciate it.
Cool. Gone. Seattle had Geno Smith, and they win 10 games every year. And I think Geno Smith is a really good quarterback. You know what Seattle said? Yeah, okay, well, bye. We'll see you down the road. Atlanta signed Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is a really good starting quarterback. And they went...
You like that? You like that?
And they were like, yeah, okay, bye. Yeah, we're moving on. Yeah, we drafted Michael Penix because we don't really think you're the long-term solution. And yeah, we made it through about three-quarters of the season, and thanks for coming. Time to go. Like, there's a cutthroat nature to the NFL that I hope that Portland has. I hope they turn into a little bit of that cutthroat organization and not kind of grow and develop. But then that goes back to what are we doing top to bottom with the organization?
Because to me, the grow and develop is the same as saying, let's see what happens. You need to be active in your pursuit, yeah. Not passive in hoping that things come together.
And I guess the real frustrating part is we don't really know what the top to bottom, what we're doing. You know, Cronin going out and getting Denny, great job. Getting Tamani Kamara in the throw-in for DeAndre Ayton, not necessarily a throw-in, but adding him.
Sure. He was not the main piece of that deal.
He turned out to be the main piece.
Yes.
DeAndre Ayton for a ham sandwich, cool. I'll take Tamani Kamara. That guy's going to be a player for you for years to come, hopefully. So, credit. That's awesome. Now go find someone that actually moves the needle. Please, for the love of God, find me someone that actually moves the needle. Otherwise, welcome to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Welcome to the Seattle Seahawks. 10 wins, 3 years in a row. And whether it's making the playoffs as an 8 seed or losing in the play-in game, that's kind of the Seahawks. Was anyone in Seattle happy the last couple of years with just being on the outside? Is anyone happy in Pittsburgh making the playoffs with Russell Wilson? So don't be satisfied here. Don't let anyone fool you that the young team and let it grow together is a great idea.
You're not off the hook all of a sudden because, like, you've got some young talent.
Because it doesn't work in the NFL, and I'm telling you, it doesn't work in the NBA. They're closer to each other when it comes to finding that guy than anyone wants to admit. But only one do we really, really sit there and bang that drum. And maybe it's easier to find him in the NFL because it's at one position. In the NBA, it could be at one of five positions. And they're a little more wide open. But it also gives you an opportunity because unlike the NFL, they're not always found in the top three picks. All right, we come back. A scary situation. Speaking of the Seattle Seahawks, a very scary situation with a former Seattle Seahawk. That when we come back. And then Club 1080 here on The Fan. Yeah, I guess Richard Sherman just started posting home security video, which, by the way, kudos to Richard Sherman for having a massive system. He's got like 17 cameras. He's got the whole like camera one, camera two.
Yeah, yeah.
He's posted all these photos. While he has a nice security system, it doesn't stop anyone from just kicking in his window. So I guess he wasn't home, but his wife and kids were home. And three masked guys, you just see the video. It looks like just kind of like a living room window. They kick in the window, kick in the screen, and then the three of them kind of rush into the house. And it doesn't show any video of what his wife did, but he did say that house being robbed at gunpoint with my family in it isn't what anyone wants for a birthday gift. Scary situation that my wife handled masterfully and kept my kids safe. If anyone has info that can help find these people, please reach out. And then posted screenshots. They've got their faces covered, but sounds like someone did actually DM and says that like they have video of looks like the same group of people. So this may be like one of those kind of targeted rings
sure.
out there. But it's kind of horrifying to think about, whether you're Richard Sherman or not. Like, the idea of just, like, you're home, or you're not home, but your wife and kids are there, and then all of a sudden, like, three dudes just burst into your home, all brandishing guns.
Yeah.
And hopefully it's the terrifying. Wife, hopefully the wife was upstairs and called 911. Like I said, he hasn't given any details on what happened, but we didn't see anything about the wife or kids being tied up. But she did say, you know, handled it masterfully. And
I mean, maybe she just gave him a bunch of credit cards and said, "Be on your way." Who knows? We're probably not going to get details right away, but the fact that no one was hurt is the big victory. But yeah, really unsettling, as you said.
Yeah, scary stuff there. That's like, I always think about that. Like, what would you do? Like, it's always the idea of like, well, you know, I got my guns and I'm ready. Well, you're sitting in your living room and then someone just kicks in your front door. You have that story, right? Wasn't it your dad that had to like confront a naked like intruder?
Oh, it was my mom's coworker.
Yeah, your mom's coworker.
They heard like a tapping on the glass and on like outside their back door, and they thought it was like maybe rain or something. Yeah. And it turned out it was like a burglar trying to see if there was anybody inside the house. They opened the door and like, yeah, there he was. He got bum rushed and it's crazy.
Yeah. What do you, I mean, dude, if you're sitting there on your couch and just out of nowhere, someone just kicks in your window. I don't know about you, but I'm not like wearing my holster at all times.
Yeah.
You know, it's just some scary stuff. So it was weird to see. I don't know why. I just thought it was weird to see the footage. I'm always fascinated by like celebrity homes. Mm-hmm. And so to see like Richard Sherman's home with like all his kids stuff.
Or at least whatever room they decided to break into, wherever right? they were. Yeah.
Yeah. And then so
it's crazy.
You know, hopefully, you know, these guys get caught.
And it is something
prayers out to Richard Sherman and his family
that came up like more earlier in the regular season. But first, you know, you had the Travis Kelce had to move because he wasn't in the right kind of community with the right kind of gated things when he started dating Taylor Swift. Yeah. And then Dan Campbell got doxxed by some high school kid that was a friend of his sister's, and he's got to move. And then you got the Joe Burrow break. There's a bunch of stars now. They're saying it's becoming a pattern for these criminals who know who the big people are, who know they have expensive things in their homes, cash, jewelry, whatever. And it's happening more and more.
Yeah, and I don't know if this was... If they knew this was Richard Sherman's house, I don't know if they knew he wasn't home, but obviously someone was home, the wife and the kids, when they broke in. That's just always a weird, I always had that thought, like, when I would go down to let my, and I still have it every now and then, like, when I go downstairs to let my dog out at night, like, one of my weird things, it gets me every time, is when I go down to let him out and I flip on the outside light, I always... It's just like one of those weird things. What if someone's just standing there?
I think we all have a couple of those little scenarios where, like, you know, you go to put your key in the lock and you turn around and the light goes on behind you and someone's standing there all of a sudden. Like, it can be unsettling for sure.
Yeah. And I've always...
Seeing stuff like this doesn't help.
No. And so it's always one of those, because I'm not a real, you know, I'm not a real, like, oh my God, like people are coming for me person. Yes. It is always in the back of my mind when the light goes on. I just was like, this is one just standing there. And it would actually be scarier if they weren't doing anything. Right? It's one thing, like, when someone, like, bursts in, you're like, okay, like, someone's attacking me. I've always thought, like, the scariest movies are the ones where, like, the people, it's, there's a movie, I think it's called, is it called The Others? It's, like, these people are, like, in a cabin. And they end up kind of getting surrounded, and they wear like kind of doll masks.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a really scary line in there where they're just kind of sitting outside of the house, like kind of harassing. And the wife like yells, "Why are you doing this?" And this girl just in this weird voice just goes, "'Cause you were home." And she's really calm and just.
I still remember that trailer, and it's giving me goosebumps right now. It's chilling.
Yeah, it's like they're not trying to necessarily kick in. They're just there. Like you can look at it, you can see them just staring at you. And to this day, that gets me. And so when I saw the Richard Sherman video of the dudes like outside the window, I just like, ah.
And it's a very obviously sensitive and serious subject. But he said, you know, if anyone has information, you know, DM me. I'd love to know. And somebody said, have you considered it to be Michael Crabtree?
Andrew Andrews is going to be on there. It's part of the ring going after Richard Sherman. Well, Richard Sherman had that problem. Remember where he had like the psychotic breakdown and he was caught on security camera.
Wasn't he like fighting his wife's dad or something like that?
Trying
or brother?
To kick,
like,
trying
there was
to
a family
kick in
dispute.
The door.
Yeah.
So, you know, Richard Sherman with a bad security footage thing again. So anyway, find these sons of bitches, arrest them, and hopefully everyone safe there at the Sherman family. All right, we come back, Club 1080. Speaking of, I didn't realize I was going to do this, but there is a horrifying piggyback story that I'll have. The idea of like one of your ultimate fears coming true.
I know what you're talking about. Oh my God.
Because I think every one of us has had this as a kid or as an adult. The old, is there a monster under my bed? Mm-hmm. That when we come back, Club 1080.